This morning, we continued looking at the whole subject of healing. And we were looking at healing as it relates to God's Word. I want to review just for a few minutes before moving forward here tonight. For one thing, we've determined that God's will, His desire for people in their physical bodies, is revealed in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. He created the bodies in perfection. And that's what He wants the bodies to be. Now granted, you know, in Genesis chapter 3, sin was introduced, corruption came with the sin. So there's corruption in these bodies, but God wants us healed. The healing is not going to fix the corruption. That's coming when, you know, the last trump and so forth, and the mortal is made immortal. But between now and then, we do have access to healing. And I read to you, in fact, I'll read this again. This, I guess you could call it a definition of healing. Healing is the process by which all forms of sickness, disease, injury, and affliction are removed from the sum total of the human body for the purpose of sustaining its existence. However, healing cannot and will never eliminate the corruption introduced to the human body by Adam's sin that is revealed in Genesis chapter 3. Removal of the Genesis chapter 3 corruption will only take place at the return of Jesus as described in 1 Corinthians 15, 44 through 54. Therefore, healing cannot permanently prevent physical death. It can only sustain the human body until the corruption makes it impossible for the body to continue functioning. And that's a really interesting way to look at healing. Because the way some people teach it, it almost gives the impression... Well, in fact, there are even some people out there that teach. There are these folks, it's a religion, that they'll never die. They say, we'll never die because we have faith and so forth. And, you know, they start dropping over dead and they say, well, they didn't have faith. But I do, so I'm never going to die. Well, then when they die, people say, well, they didn't have faith, but I do. So just wacko. So healing does not fix the corruption, but it does deal with sickness, disease, and so forth that the corruption can produce in the human body. God doesn't change ever, and He cannot lie. Therefore, what He has said in His Word relative to healing stands permanently until we're at a place where we don't need it anymore. We'll get there in a minute. In Genesis chapter 1, creation began with God speaking. And God's Word literally created the finite molecular particles that are used to create everything. You know, just think of a universe full of Legos. You know, they're just Legos until somebody starts putting them together to make a house or a car or a boat or a dog or a whatever. Well, that's the way it is with molecules. God puts the molecules together. And I'm using the word molecules because we can relate to that word. It's far smaller than that. But God puts these molecules, these particles together, and you can end up with oxygen. You can end up with wood. You can end up with all the different substances that exist. And that includes everything that makes up the human body. Well, go ahead and turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. We'll kind of review a little bit on those passages. Everything began with the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, God, verse 1, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Upholding all things by the word of His power, not the power of His word, even though both are true. But it specifically says the word of His power. What that should tell us is that God's power is released through words. It exists, but it is released through words. Once something is spoken, the power goes forth and brings about a desired result. And over in John chapter, in fact, I'll tell you what, you go ahead and turn over to Isaiah 55. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said that, you know, the flesh profiteth, you know, really nothing. He said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Therefore, they are power. They are spirit and they are life. He's letting us know that they are spiritual in origin, but they are also life. God's words are life. This is very critical for us because that tells us, well, life, you know, is the opposite of death, and life is the opposite of sickness and disease, because life reflects health. So therefore, His words are spirit and they are life. We could say it like this: His words are spirit and they release life where life is less than what it should be. Every form of sickness, disease, is a condition of life that is less than what it should be. The corruption's bad enough, but sickness and disease, along with, well, like a broken arm, or any kind of physical something that is not what we would call normal, even though the bodies are fallen, life alters that. Life brings about a correction to that. Now, in Isaiah 55, verse 11, God said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, God created everything by speaking. And He said, let there be, and then whatever it was He said, happened. Even when He said, let the waters, and I'm paraphrasing, let the waters produce all of the sea creatures and all of the flying creatures. I mean, would you not like to have been there on that day of creation? And stood there on the... I mean, at another point, it talks about how let the land come forth. And the land came forth out of the waters. And there was a separation between land and water. And now you're watching this. You're standing on the banks of the water. And you hear God say, let the sea bring forth the fishies and the birdies. And you look, and then down in the water, all of a sudden, right before your very eyes, fish begin to form. They hadn't been there, but all of a sudden they begin to form. Well, you know, the naysayers are going to, well, they were there the whole time. You just didn't see them. Okay, well, what about that eagle that just flew out of there? I mean, ducks, they'll fly out of water. Okay, yeah, but eagles don't do that. Eagles don't just come up out of the water. In fact, look at robins and bluebirds and cardinals and just all kinds. Look at that. They're coming up out of the water. Wouldn't that be incredible? But that's what the Word says. So God spoke, and the particles of molecularity that made up the water, some of them began rearranging and forming different compounds. And the result was beaks, feathers, you know, little birdie feet. And, you know, they flew. They came up out of the water. And they didn't need anybody to teach them how to fly. So intelligence came with it. You understand this? Just challenge yourself sometimes with your imagination. What am I reading? And what is this reflecting? So the fish, they just knew what to do. The birds just knew what to do. All because God said, let there be. And it happened. God, when He spoke it, let the waters bring forth, you know, the birds. When He's speaking this, contained in those words was the instruction, the blueprint for what a bird is supposed to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? God didn't stand up there and for, you know, 15 hours describe all the scientific everything of birds and what makes up a bird. Do you understand what I'm saying about that? He didn't go through all the chemical and then let this and inform that and then let it and then the lungs shall blah, blah. No. When he spoke, those words contained the image of the completed product. That is amazing. Absolutely incredible. And the fact that it happened, you know, every day he had a new surprise for the angels. I mean, they were watching. They were there. Can you imagine their response? Did you see that? What is that thing? God said it's a bird. A bird? Look at it. It flies, kind of like us. Look at that. That would just be incredible. What I'm trying to do is impress upon us the power of what God said, the words of His power, and how it brought everything into existence. God said, when my word goes forth, it won't fail. It will produce when His word goes forth. And in Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, He talks about, let's make man in our image and our likeness. And really, that's talking about, let's make man to look like us and act like us. The act like part includes speak and it happens. Well, a lot of Christians today, they don't want to believe in that. They really come against the confession message. But I don't know why. We see the pattern in Jesus' life, don't we? You know, He spoke to a tree and it died. He spoke to all kinds of things and stuff happened. Why should we think that what we say is ineffective? I'll tell you why we believe that. It's because, number one, we've never been taught to believe it. And because we don't really, and I'm generalizing, I know, because we don't really believe it, then when we speak it, there's really nothing behind what we're speaking. It's like what we speak is more of a, on the inside thinking, well, I don't really know if this is going to work or not, but, you know, if it does, well, it'll be great, make me look good, that's for sure. So be healed. And then if it happens, you know, oh, hey, see that? All right, you know, I got it. Well, you got it? I got it. No. We really aren't so sure about all of this. Jesus didn't have a problem with it at all. That's why He was so hesitant when the disciples came to Him and said, well, Lazarus and everything. And Jesus said, oh, just ease up, guys, you know, hang around. And, well, okay, now it's time, been 4 days, let's go. Well, yeah, but Lazarus, he sleeps. Well, if he sleeps, let's leave him alone. Don't go wake him up. And finally, Jesus had to look at him and say, he's dead, okay? He's dead. He finally had to lay it out before them to get them to cooperate. And so off he goes. He says, roll away the stone. Now, you better believe in what you're saying before you start telling people to roll away the stone or to, you know, dig up the casket. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. Do you realize if he'd have just said, come forth, everybody would have been coming out of that crowd, however many dead people there were in there, just a parade. And I'm guessing there was only one person in there named Lazarus. Because he said, Lazarus, come forth. And then only one guy came out. So Jesus didn't have a problem believing that what he said was going to come to pass. And he talked about that over there in Mark 11. He said, look, you know, you got to have faith in God or have the God kind of faith. Because if you do, you can speak, and if you believe and don't doubt, you'll have what you say. Well, what's the God kind of faith based on? The Word of God. It's not based on what I want. It's not based on my hopes and desires for, you know, worldly stuff and whatever. It's based on the Word of God. So if I have the God kind of faith, that means I have the Word of God in me to the point to where I know I can speak what God has said and I will get the results. Now, I'm just going to be honest, guys. I'm not at that point. I need to be. Well, that's a negative confession. I'm just telling you the way it is. I'm not yet there. I'm working on it, but I'm not yet there. But I do know the potential exists for me. God said, when my word goes forth, it won't fail to produce. It will produce whatever I send it forth to produce. Now, a lot of people, again, they want to criticize this whole thing of confession. And they don't, Christians, I mean, the very people that ought to believe it are, you know, Christians. And the worst thing that you can do as a Christian is say, well, that stuff doesn't work. Well, I don't believe in that stuff. You're coming against the Word of God. You're exalting religious tradition and your own failures over the Word of God. Now, when I say your own failures, I mean, let's face it. If I speak, and if there's a storm and I say, peace be still, and the storm doesn't settle down, did I not just fail? I'm not a failure as an individual, but that action was a failure because it didn't produce the results it could have produced. I mean, seriously, you really believe that God wants a tornado to blow through and tear everything apart? No. So, peace be still. At least when I'm out on a boat and a storm starts to rise up, I mean, at the very least, I ought to be able to say peace be still in a storm. You know, maybe you think tornadoes and everything are exempt from all of this, okay? Well, storms on the sea, that ought to count because that's what Jesus did. I ought to at least be able to do that, you see? So, this whole thing of what we speak, I want you to listen to something. It's an article entitled Patient Knows Best, and it was originally published in Reader's Digest, and this is just a portion of it. A person's answer to the question, is your health excellent, good, fair, or poor, is a remarkable predictor of who will live or die over the next 4 years, according to new findings. A study of more than 2,800 men and women, 65 and older, found that those who rate their health poor are 4 to 5 times more likely to die in the next 4 years than those who rate their health excellent. This was the case even if examinations showed the respondents to be in comparable health. In other words, a medical exam shows your health's not all that bad, but if you say poor, you're 4 to 5 times more likely to die within the next 4 or 5 years. These findings are supported by a review of 5 other large studies totaling 23,000 people, which reached similar conclusions, according to Ellen Eidler, a sociologist at Rutgers University, and epidemiologist Stanislav Kossel of Yale University School of Medicine, co-authors of the new study. Okay, now, this has nothing to do with, according to the Bible, this has everything to do with a doctor sitting down with a patient and saying, tell me, rate your health. And if the patient says, well, my health is poor, even though medically examinations show that this person's in good health, there's a 4 to 5 times chance they're going to die within 4 years. Simply because they said, they spoke it, my health is poor. Now, you don't think that's going to impact you? You don't think what you say is going to have a direct impact on what happens in your life? If you are constantly complaining about your physical condition, and let's just say that I've encountered people over the years passing through the doors of this church who seem to talk very negatively about physical conditions, is it any wonder that your physical conditions are still what they are? Or maybe worse? Is it any wonder? You really have no reason to be fussy at God about, I don't understand why I'm not healed. Because when secular medical science backs up what God has said for thousands of years, why in the world should we say it doesn't work? Here's part of the problem. We expect microwave results. You know, I can remember before we had a microwave, we actually had to bake potatoes in the oven. And you know, if you wanted it baked right, you had to leave it in there like 45, 50 minutes. Well, Then somebody came up with the brilliant idea of making these aluminum baking nails that you would put in the potato, and then it would bake it in about 30 minutes. Well, hallelujah! You know, it's only 30 minutes for a baked potato. Then came the microwave. And I can remember when we got our first microwave, first thing I made, a baked potato. Wow, look at this! 5 minutes, I got me a baked potato. Okay, now you know what the deal is? Oh, gee whiz, 4 more minutes till I got my baked potato. What is going on? I'm busy, do you not? We get frustrated with the microwave now. Every one of you have done that too.
We should say it, hurry up. Wonder if we can get a more powerful microwave. You know, cook, bzz, done.
That's how we are. That's how we expect our confession to work. Now, it did kind of work that way with Jesus, did it not? The problem is, we want it to work that way now before we give ourselves over to the Word of God. I don't want to spend time in the Word of God. I just want it to happen. I don't want to be responsible for my spiritual development. I just want things to change. Do you not understand that? Yeah, I understand it. Well, then what's the problem? You. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's a process. The Word of God is the foundation for our healing. That's because the Word of God created the molecules that were formed into everything we have, including the human body. Now, if the Word of God brought it into existence, the Word of God is the mechanic that will fix it and the doctor that will heal it. Do you understand this? So, this morning what I did was go through and I read several passages of Scripture. And these passages of Scripture were all about God wants you healed. Well, this whole thing about the Word of God and us speaking it. Kathy and I have been married, you know, over 33 years. And when we got married, we were in what you might call a Word of Faith church. The genuine Word of Faith message is real, and it's scriptural. A lot of people have twisted it, made it what it's not, or tried to, you know, they've turned it into something that's not at all the way it originated in Scripture. But it's real, and the whole aspect of confession, it's real. But as the years have passed, I've taken it more and more seriously. Because I am created, my born-again me, I am created in the image of God Himself. The only thing different, really, between Adam and me is this human body. Because spiritually, God breathed into me the breath of life. I'm born again with the life, nature, character of God. That's my born-again spirit. Now, the body has yet to be glorified, and that's coming. But other than that, what's in me spiritually, the constitution of my spiritual existence, is the same as it was with Adam before Genesis 3, and it is the same as it was with Jesus when He walked this earth. Now, that's where a lot of Christians will turn you out. You're not like Jesus. Yeah, I am. As far as I didn't say I'm deity. I'm like Jesus as He walked the earth. Jesus got hungry, did He not? Well, guess what? I get hungry. I'm working on it now. Jesus got thirsty. I get thirsty. Jesus got tired. I get tired. Jesus got angry. I've been there. Jesus couldn't stand poor theology. Me neither. In other words, I'm like the human Jesus who walked this earth. But if you're born again, so are you. We're like Him on a spiritual level, but we'll never be deity. This being true, I need to be very cautious about how I approach my confession. Now, I'm not talking about telling jokes, which, you know, sometimes I do that and we all get a good laugh. Okay, we're not talking about that. We're talking about day-to-day living. You understand? There is a difference. And, you know, the Bible talks about foolish jesting and to avoid it. Well, I'm not here to teach on foolish jesting. Foolish jesting is not the same thing as telling jokes and having a good time. All right? Not at all the same thing. So when it comes to my day-to-day living and how I address my circumstances, I better watch what I say. Now, there's precedent in this as recorded in Scripture. Now, I want you to listen to these. In fact, if you want, I'll read the... go ahead and turn to Job 22. We'll just run through a bunch of Scripture here today. Turn to Job 22. And as you're turning to Job 22, I'm going to read to you Psalm 107:20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God sent His word. Now, God talked about, we just read it here a little bit ago, over there in Isaiah 55:11, where God said, when my word goes forth from my mouth, it will not return void. It will accomplish what I send it forth to accomplish. Here, God sent His word and healed them. God sent His word. So God has delivered, call it spoken, His word, and it produced healing. In Psalm 107:20, He sent His word and healed them. Now, He never changes and He cannot lie. That means that principle, that standard is still at work today. However, what we speak impacts how healing manifests in our own bodies. In Job 22, verses 26 through 28, "For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto Him, and He shall hear thee. Thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." So here we see, you shall decree a thing, you shall speak it. And let me kind of paraphrase this passage. When you line yourself up, align yourself up with God and His will and His purpose, then when you decree a thing, it will be lined up with His will and His purpose, and you're going to have it. It's going to happen. Now, this is from Scripture. This is the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 10. Turn over there. We're going to read several passages from Proverbs. So, Proverbs chapter 10. And once again, all of these are recorded and available. You know, when I tell people that the notes are available and they contact me 15 years later, I just listened to that sermon. Can I get those notes? It's like, when did I preach that? It's 15 years ago. Yeah, sure. I've got them right here in my back pocket. So, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. What that tells me is, out of my mouth should be coming the righteousness of the Word of God relative to my day-to-day life. Proverbs 12:6, "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." So here I see my confession deals with my deliverance. Now, granted, it's talking about, you know, the wicked and so forth, but this would also apply to what I speak concerning the deliverance I want from, and you fill in the blank. An addiction, a behavior, an attitude, a sickness, a disease, an affliction, on and on it goes. Proverbs 12:14, "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him." You'll be satisfied with good by the fruit of your mouth. Well, you know what? If all you speak are lemons, prunes, and sour grapes, you know, what are you going to get? Lemons, prunes, and sour grapes. Sound like an upset stomach to me. You shall be satisfied. There is satisfaction with the fruit of... Now, you have to understand, when God says things like this, it's like an assumptive statement that you're going to be speaking these things that line up with my word. Proverbs 12:18, There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 13, verses 2 through 3. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth or guardeth or watches over his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. That phrase, openeth wide his lips, means you just run at the mouth. I mean, just ramble on, just, and you know what I'm talking about. Proverbs 14, verse 3. The mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. My confession preserves my health. Proverbs 15, verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Perverseness where? In the tongue. Perverseness in the tongue is a breach in the spirit. Meaning, if your confession is not lining up, if what you speak, if your day-to-day living talk, not your church talk, because some of you, you're really good at catching yourself in the middle of a lousy confession. Well, no, what I mean is, you're good at that. He says, you know what? When there's perverseness in what you say, there is a breach in the spirit, or you are interfering with God's promises manifesting in your life. Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Health to the bones. All right, if you've ever known anybody who's been diagnosed with bone cancer, guess what we've just discovered? Something that ought to be used in addition to the chemotherapy and the radiation. Again, you're not going to hear me tell you don't go to the doctor. Now, if you believe that God doesn't want you going to a doctor, you know what? I'll support that decision even if I don't agree with it. Because there are some people, they've got a whole lot of head faith, but it's not in the heart. And in their minds, based on things they've heard, they think, well, you know, doctor said I got this, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to stand in faith. Now I'm not going to go and get the treatment, and I'm not going to go get the shots, and I'm not going to go get the... I'm going to believe God. Well, you know what? Your spiritual life has been a shipwreck for the last 20 years. Now all of a sudden you're super giant when it comes to your, you know, maturity in the Lord. See, you better really think hard about this. Now I'm not going to tell you don't go to the doctor. I'm not going to tell you, you know, I won't. If that's your decision, that is your decision. But I am going to say this, you better use godly wisdom and you better pray about it before you make these kind of decisions. I'm serious. Listen, anytime the doctor gives you some kind of a diagnosis, I don't care if you walked on water yesterday, you go to him and you pray and get his wisdom on how to approach this. All right? There's too many people, man, that laying in graves that shouldn't be there because of this very stuff. In Proverbs 21, verse 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Well, if I'm keeping my soul from troubles, I bet you I'm keeping my body from troubles too. I bet you I'm impacting my health. All right, now let me share this. Yeah, the Lord just brought this up. This morning I was talking a lot about the corruption from Genesis chapter 3. That corruption, it starts on the cellular level. This is why you have babies born with birth defects. This is why babies are born and sometimes they develop cancers. Maybe they're diagnosed with a cancer at birth. Or it develops within the next, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, whatever, leukemia, things like that. This corruption, this Genesis 3 corruption, is more severe in some people's bodies than it is in others. This is why some folks can smoke 50 years, and they never get emphysema, they never get cancer, and so on and so forth. Well, somebody else, they smoke for 10 years, then they quit, and 20 years later, they've got lung cancer. Well, where'd that come from? And one of the things the doctor will ask you is, did you smoke? Did you ever in your life smoke? Do you realize what the doctor's telling you? That if you smoked 30 years ago, then you were laying the groundwork for lung cancer today. That's what the doctor is telling you. The problem is you don't know how bad off your body is until sometimes it's too late. You just can't look in the mirror and say, well, my corruption ain't so bad. I'm looking pretty good. Hey, bodybuilders, some of them take steroids, never have problems. Others take steroids, die. Lyle Alzado. Remember, I don't know if some of you remember Lyle Alzado. You know, some of you old guys do. I mean, that guy was bad to the bone on the football field with the Oakland Raiders. You did not mess with him. That guy was, I mean, he was super bad. Well, you know what? He contracted cancer, and he publicly came forth and admitted, I'm fully convinced it's because of the steroids I took during the years that I played football. Now, I'm not going to continue on along that line, but what I'm saying is that the corruption in some people's bodies is worse than it is in other people, but you don't know the difference. You can't. That's why some folks, you know, like they're always battling sickness, but they don't drink, don't smoke, don't whatever, but they're always battling sickness. It's like, what is the deal? I know what it is. It's a generational curse. Oh, come on. I know what it is. They've got sin in their life. Seriously. No, the corruption. That Genesis 3 corruption is worse, and they tend to be more what we would say susceptible to stuff like that. So what I'm teaching you here in all of this is not the typical kind of teaching that you get in churches when it comes to this whole concept of healing. Some people would say, well, you're just opening the door for sickness. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, man. It goes back to Genesis chapter 3. That's the world we live in. This is the way it is. Now, what we've got to do, see, God knew that that's the way it would be. That's why He has all this set up in His Word for healing. And I'm going to tell you something else. When you battle, we're talking about confessing the Word of God relative to your healing. For some people, they're just flat out going to have to fight harder. Now, that's just the way it is. You say, well, that doesn't sound fair. Well, you know, sometimes that's just how it is, all right? And I don't want to go off on a teaching tangent in that direction, but some people just have to fight harder than others. You can say that maybe their faith level isn't what it should be. Okay, regardless of the reason, some people just have to fight harder than others. But you can still have victory because the Word of God can't fail. Now, in Proverbs, did we read we just read Proverbs 21. Okay, Proverbs 18. Got this one out of order. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the... If there's only one verse in the Bible that would cause you to believe this, it's that one right there. God Almighty is telling you death and life is in the power of your tongue. Your tongue. Your tongue. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. So why on God's green earth would we talk bad about our physical condition? Now, I'm not saying we live in denial, all right? I'm not saying we ignore circumstances or conditions. I'm not saying that at all. Look, guys, if it hurts, deal with it. Yeah, that's the way it is. If it's infected, well, deal with it. And if you believe you aren't supposed to take medicine for it, well, that, you know, man, have at it. But take the Word and attack it. I hope this is making a whole lot of sense and bringing balance to this whole concept of healing. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So praise God for everything that doctors do. I mean, think of it like this. You know, you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you the diagnosis and says, well, you know, you need to take this medicine. And so you get the medicine and there it is. Now, you take that pill, but along with that pill, you speak the Word of God. Think of it like this. You're increasing the effectiveness of the pill. All right? Now, that may not be exactly what's going on, but if it helps you understand this, then think of it that way. But I'm increasing my chances of healing. So yeah, go ahead, take the medicine. I mean, if you're going to the doctor, you know, again, get the wisdom of God. But in Isaiah 57, verse 19, God says, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. I create the fruit of the lips. So, here's a way to look at that. God has given us his word. And he's saying, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, this is no insult to all of you people down there on earth, but the truth is, you're all probably a little too dumb to come up with this kind of stuff on your own. So I'm going to give you the words that you need for the fruit of your lips. And because I'm the one that's coming up with this, they are the words of my power, and they are the words of power. So I will create for you the words, the fruit of the lips, of your lips, contained here in my word. In Luke 6:45, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Out of the abundance of the heart. So Jesus said that the word of God, spirit and life. If I take the word of God and make it the abundance, and I begin to speak that, then what I'm doing is I'm speaking life to me. In Mark chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus said, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. So when I take the word of God relative to healing, and I am confessing it over my body, I'm sowing the word of God, the healing power of the word of God into my body. Into my body. But now see, guys, you've got to come to the place of believing this is happening. Remember when Jesus cast the devil out of that man's son, and before he did, the man said, or Jesus told that man, said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man said, I believe, help me with my unbelief. All right, that is one of the greatest passages to me. I mean, that's in that category of, you can really learn a lot from this. Let's be honest. We do believe, but what we don't want to admit is that there's unbelief. We just don't want to confess that because that's a bad confession. That guy wasn't too worried about a bad confession at that moment. His son needed healing. And he admitted, I mean, he did believe. He brought his son to be healed. So he did believe. However, he's admitting, look, there's unbelief somewhere, okay? You know, so help me in this area. Let's be honest with God and just go to him and say, you know, Father, I do believe. I mean, there is a part of me that believes in this whole concept of this confessing your word for healing. But help me with my unbelief. Help me, because as hard as it is for me to admit, I have to admit there's unbelief in there. Help me with my unbelief. So you go to him in that kind of honesty, because he already knows it. He sees what's going on inside us. He knows. Now, in this thing of confessing the word of God, God has given his word, and we've read about the word of his power. We've also seen in Scripture, his word is power. When I sow the word into me, I am sowing life, word, and power, and the power of the word. That is what is going on inside of me. If I am a farmer and I want a crop of corn, I'm going to fill my whole field with rows of corn, am I not? Because I want a big crop of corn. As I'm sowing the word, and I keep sowing, and I keep sowing, what am I doing? I am planting the field of my life, sowing it with the seed of the word of God, and that seed contains the image of my healing. Remember, God spoke the word in Genesis, and when he spoke, it contained the image of flying birds. Well, when I speak his word, it contains the image of my healed body. Now, eventually, I get the glorified version. But between now and then, when I speak the word in it, in this word, it's like the seed, the sower sows the word. It contains the image of my healed hand. It contains the image of my healed eyes. It contains the image of my healed kidneys. It contains the image of my healed whatever. I remember when I was a kid. And, you know, they give you like an aspirin or something. Well, you know, for pain. Take something for pain. I could not figure out for anything how that pill knew to go where the pain was in my body or in anyone's body. It's like, how does it know? How does it know where to find the pain? Then one day I realized, okay, wait a minute. That pain pill, when dissolved and absorbed, is coursing through my entire body. So if there is pain anywhere, in my big toe, in my little toe, in my thumb, in my earlobe, if there's pain anywhere, that medicine finds it and dulls the pain. You understand that? I mean, it's actually impacting me in the brain, okay? But for the sake of the teaching, when I take the Word of God produced everything in creation, including the perfect human body. That Word, His Word, though I see it in English, or whatever a person's native language would be, that's all I see, because God spoke it, it contains the image of a healed body. So when I take it in and it's being absorbed by my system, then whatever it is that's not right, doesn't matter what, okay, it touches it. And it begins to produce healing. Even to the point of the maimed being made whole. Maimed, as in missing limbs. Right there I lost a bunch of people. Now maybe not here, but figuratively speaking, that's where a lot of people would say, now Brother Martin, how does that happen? I mean, come on, seriously, how does that happen? Okay, let me give you my version. All right? Let the seas bring forth the birdies. And so the birdies begin flying up out of the seas. All right? All right. My arm. My arm is missing, right? There's no, I mean, not literally, okay, for those listening to. But let's say my arm is missing. It's gone from the elbow down. Now, you realize that from the elbow down, there is no vacuum. Okay? You understand that, right? No vacuum. It's air. So, air molecules rearrange and become an arm. Is that too far-fetched? Some of you are sitting there thinking, that is weird. How else are you going to explain it? Because the Word of God is rearranging something somehow. It's either causing the air molecules to rearrange to become an arm, or it is stimulating the production of new cells for the arm to begin to grow out and become whole. However it works, the maimed are made whole. That is the Word of God. So the Word contains, it has a seed, and it contains the image of complete healing, but not glorification of the mortal body. Now what I've done is created a confession. And I have used parts of the following passages. Psalm 91, 9 through 10, Psalm 103, 1 through 3, Psalm 68, 19, Psalm 107, 20, Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, Isaiah 53, 4 through 5, and 1 Peter 2, 24, Matthew 9, 35, Matthew 15, 29 through 31. And this is just one variation of what can be done. Lord, you are the Most High God. I bless you with all my soul and all that is within me. I am daily loaded with benefits, and I do not forget any of them. I am forgiven of all sins, and I am healed of all sickness and disease. God sent His word and healed me and delivered me from all destruction. I do not let God's words depart from my eyes, and I keep them in the midst of my heart. They are constantly ministering life and health to my entire body. Jesus bore my griefs and carried my sorrows. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him, and by His stripes I was healed. Jesus healed me of every sickness and every disease. Every part of my body functions the way it should. My body is healed. My mind is healed. My body and mind are made totally and completely whole. There it is. There it is. And all of that came straight from the Word of God. Not only can you speak this over yourself, you can speak this over people. And in something like this, what you do, throw in whatever it is you're battling. Well, you know, the doctor said I have a ruptured disc. Well, God sent His Word and healed me of a ruptured disc and delivered me from all destruction. And talk to your body. Talk to it. Talk. Is it not a living organism? Talk to it. Back, do you hear me? I don't care what you think. The Word of God says you're healed. You're healed. Do you hear me back? I know you do. You can't get away from me. You're always back there, back. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever it is you're battling, throw it in here. Mix it in. Include it. And keep speaking to yourself. And keep calling yourself healed. You know, oh, my little finger. Oh, my little finger. God sent His Word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. Now, I don't know exactly what's going on because I haven't been to the doctor and I don't plan to go as of yet. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're healed. By Jesus' stripes, you're healed, little finger. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? You're healed, little finger. Okay, a little exaggerated there. But I think you guys get the message. Now, if we don't do this, do we have any room to complain? Do we have any reason to fuss about why God didn't? I don't understand where He is when you need Him and blah, blah, and so forth. And you know how it is, how people do. See, what it comes down to is you either believe it or you don't. You accept this or you don't. And if you do, then you have to put it into practice. Here's the thing, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the more that you do this, even if you're kind of like iffy about it now, but you're willing to agree, well, it is God's Word. I mean, you know, it does say all those things in there. So, yeah, okay, you know, I still have some questions, but you know, I'll do it. I'll start doing this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So what you're doing when you're confessing this and meditating on these Scriptures, you're actually developing faith in the area of healing. Yeah. And so you will begin to get results. How long is it going to take? I don't know. I really don't know. Some preachers have given the impression, and I don't know that they meant to do this, that the healing is going to manifest just, you know, almost instantly, within a few days. Well, if you had faith, then it would come to pass. Okay, you know what? I'm working on the faith and my healing at the same time. So don't fuss at me because I'm in the prayer line again to have you be in agreement with me about the manifestation of my healing. I won't fuss at you. Not me. Other preachers might. I heard of one preacher, well, he prayed for people. If they came back up in the healing line again another time, after he'd prayed for them, and they were still seeking healing for the same thing, he'd look at them and he'd say, I prayed for you yesterday. If you had faith, you'd be healed. Go sit down. Go and pray for them. And I'm not going to tell you who that was. Some of you may know, but I'm not going to tell you who that was. Nobody around here. Nobody who's been here either. The point I'm making is this. This works, but you have to do it. You have to do it. You have to work it. You have to keep at it. But it works. Hey, it's the same thing for me. I'm not consistent enough about confessing over, like, for my eyes. I don't want to wear glasses. You shouldn't want to wear them either. Well, you know what? Did not Jesus give sight to the blind? Sure He did. And those people were blind. I think nearsightedness would be easier to heal than blindness. if we put it in human terms. But as far as the Word is concerned, it doesn't matter because the Word can create new eyeballs. You see what I'm saying? Guys, this works, but it's up to us to accept it and to work it in our lives. And every one of us, we're all in this together. And this is why when you minister to people for healing, just speak the Word over them. Just kind of like what I did tonight, to speak the Word over them. Hallelujah. All right, well listen, we're going to continue learning more about healing in the days to come, but right now everybody stand.